All right, let's dive into Sufism today, but with a little twist. You
Oh.
know that personality quiz you sent over from the Spiritual Seek?
Yeah.
Well, we thought it'd be fun to kind of use it as our guide today.
Sounds interesting.
So we'll go through each question and see what kind of Sufi wisdom we can uncover.
I like it.
Now, for anyone who might be new to all this, Sufism is like this mystical branch of Islam. It's all about purifying the heart and getting closer to the divine, you know?
It really emphasizes that personal experience of the divine, often through things like meditation or chanting or poetry. Yeah.
Okay, so first question off the bat. It asks, which of these practices is commonly used in Sufism to reach a state of spiritual ecstasy?
Okay.
And the choices are
Yeah.
fasting, reciting poetry silently, or whirling dance.
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, I have a feeling you might.
Definitely whirling dance or sama, as it's known.
Right, it's like one of those classic images you think of when you hear Sufism.
Exactly, those swirling dervishes with their robes billowing as they spin.
Such a powerful image, but it's got to be more than just a performance, right? What's the deeper meaning behind it all?
Oh, absolutely. It's deeply symbolic.
Ooh.
The whirling reflects how Sufis understand the cosmos and our place within it.
Interesting.
Remember that image of planets orbiting the sun? Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good starting point. The dervishes, through their spinning, they're acting out that cosmic dance,
Oh, I see.
embodying the movement of like the celestial spheres around a central axis.
So they're embodying the harmony of the universe.
Exactly. And by doing that, they're trying to move beyond their individual ego, you know, to lose themselves in that greater cosmic dance.
And experience unity with the divine.
Yes.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how even simple actions can hold so much meaning, you know, in a spiritual context.
Definitely.
Okay, on to question two. It asks us to identify one of the most influential poets in Sufism, known for his profound mystical writings.
All right.
And the options are Al-Ghazali, Omar Khayyam, and Jalal ad-Din Rumi.
I think our listener already knows this one.
I bet they do.
It's Rumi, of course.
Of course. His poetry has become so closely tied with Sufism for so many people.
And for good reason.
Why do you think his work still resonates so deeply with people, even centuries later?
I think it's that raw honesty in his poetry. It
Yeah.
speaks to those universal human experiences, you know, the longing, the love, the search for meaning.
Yeah.
He doesn't shy away from the complexities of the spiritual path at all. He embraces it all, the joy, the sorrow, the doubt, the ecstasy.
And he does it with such beautiful language.
Right. And those vivid metaphors he uses to explain these complex spiritual ideas.
Like how he talks about the soul's journey as a lover seeking union with the beloved.
Exactly. And he uses the imagery of wine and intoxication to describe divine love. Such a powerful blend of the earthly and the divine, the sensual and the spiritual.
Yeah, it's not just about abstract concepts, but about connecting with those truths on a deeper, more emotional level.
Exactly. That's what makes Rumi such a powerful introduction to Sufism, I think.
He helps you feel these truths rather than just think about them.
Absolutely.
All right, now question three gets into a core Sufi concept, fana. It asks what this term refers to. The choices are building religious institutions, accumulating knowledge, or the annihilation of self in God.
That's a big one.
I think this one might need a bit more explanation, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the quiz goes straight for the most, well, radical answer, the annihilation of self in God.
That sounds intense.
It is a powerful concept, but it's important to understand it metaphorically, not literally.
So we're not talking about physically disappearing.
No, it's about transcending the limits of our ego.
That sense of a separate self we hold on to so tightly.
Exactly. In fana, the Sufi aims to dissolve that illusionary boundary between themselves and the divine.
To experience emerging with ultimate reality.
Beautifully put, it's a state of complete absorption, a total surrender to something much greater than ourselves. Imagine a drop of water falling into the ocean.
Okay.
It loses its individual form and becomes one with the vastness of the sea.
Powerful image. But I imagine reaching such a state is no easy task.
Yeah. It is considered the pinnacle of the Sufi path. It requires incredible dedication, discipline, and guidance from a seasoned spiritual mentor.
Makes sense.
But even glimpses of this fana, the Sufis believe, can be life-changing.
Wow.
They offer a taste of the ultimate unity at the heart of all existence.
Like catching a glimpse of the infinite amidst the finite.
Yes.
A moment of pure connection that breaks down our limited perceptions of reality.
Exactly. And that's what makes fana so compelling and mysterious.
It really challenges how we think about ourselves, the divine, and reality itself.
It does. You know, it's really interesting how this quiz manages to cover such deep concepts, but without getting too bogged down. It's like they've taken these complex ideas and turned them into these little nuggets of wisdom.
It's true. It makes Sufism feel more accessible, even if you don't know a ton about Islamic theology.
Yeah, it's about that direct experience of the divine.
Through the heart,
yeah.
Not just the head.
Exactly. Okay, so let's see what other wisdom we can find in the next question.
Question 4 focuses on the role of a sheikh or a peer in Sufism.
Okay.
The options are a political leader, a merchant, or a spiritual guide.
Pretty straightforward. I think so, too.
It's a spiritual guide, of course.
Yeah. The sheikh or the peer is like that mentor, right? Mm. That wise elder who's been there, done that, and can guide you on your spiritual journey.
Exactly. It's not just about reading books, but having a living, breathing example of those teachings.
Someone to learn from directly.
Yes. The Sufi path really emphasizes that transmission of knowledge.
Receiving it from someone who's actually embodied those teachings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The sheikh is more than a teacher. They're like a beacon.
A living example of what's possible.
Yes.
It's like having an experienced Sherpa guide you through the Himalayas.
I like that analogy.
You wouldn't want to climb that alone.
Definitely not.
And just like a climber relies on their Sherpa, a Sufi aspirant relies on their sheikh's wisdom to navigate that spiritual path.
Absolutely.
Speaking of navigating, question 5 asks about a specific practice in Sufism.
One that involves remembrance or invocation.
Interesting.
The options are Hajj, Zakat, and Dhikr.
It's Dhikr.
Right, which means remembrance.
And it's a central practice in Sufism.
It involves repeating certain phrases or God's names.
Often with specific breathing techniques and visualizations, too.
Makes me think of mantra meditation in Hinduism or chanting in Buddhism.
You know, there is a common thread there.
What do you think that is?
It's about cultivating that constant awareness of the divine.
Bringing your attention inward.
Yes. Shifting the focus from the external world to that inner landscape of the heart.
Where the divine resides, according to the Sufis.
Exactly.
So it's not just mindlessly saying words.
Right. It's about imbuing them with intention and presence.
Letting them really sink in.
Yes. Using sound and breath as tools to connect with the divine.
To awaken that inner spark.
The ruh, the soul.
I love that. It makes me think of how scattered our minds usually are.
Constantly jumping from one thing to the next.
Yeah. Practices like Dhikr help us create stillness. Quiet the mind and connect on a deeper level.
And exactly. In this crazy world full of distractions.
Dhikr helps you reclaim that inner sanctuary.
That sacred space to commune with the divine.
So important. Okay, last question.
Let's hear it.
This one looks at the role of music in many Sufi orders.
Okay.
The choices are forbidden, irrelevant, or essential for connecting with divine love.
I think I can guess this one.
I bet you can, especially if you've heard any Sufi music.
Exactly. It's seen as essential.
It's so interesting how music is sometimes seen as a distraction in spirituality.
Right.
But in Sufism, it's a pathway to the divine.
It really is.
Why do you think that is?
The Sufis understand the power of music to bypass the thinking mind and speak directly to the heart.
I see.
They believe certain melodies and rhythms can actually change your consciousness.
Wow.
And make it easier to experience the divine.
So it's more than just listening for pleasure.
Oh, for sure. It's a tool for transformation.
Like in those Sama gatherings you mentioned before.
Yes. Music and poetry create this immersive spiritual experience.
Those instruments aren't just making sounds. They're like sacred tools.
Exactly. Evoking specific emotions and states of being.
Each note, each rhythm has spiritual meaning.
Leading you closer to a direct experience of the divine.
And that emphasis on experience is what makes Sufism so unique, right?
It's not just believing, it's feeling.
Feeling God's presence.
Within and all around us.
So music becomes that bridge between the seen and the unseen.
The earthly and the divine.
Helping us tap into that spiritual ecstasy, the Wad.
Beautifully put.
Listening to you talk about Sufi music, I'm feeling this longing to experience that kind of ecstasy myself.
That's the beauty of Sufism. It's an invitation to go on that journey of self-discovery and awakening.
It's about opening ourselves up to the possibility of experiencing the divine as a living presence.
In our own hearts.
Welcome back to our Sufi Deep Dive. We've been exploring Sufism through this really cool quiz from the Spiritual Seek.
Yeah, it's been fun, right?
It has. We've covered so much. From whirling dervishes to Rumi's poetry, even that mind-bending concept of fauna.
It's amazing how they pack such profound ideas into these seemingly simple questions.
I know, right? So as we wrap up, is there one key takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with? something that really captures the essence of the Sufi path?
That's a good question. You know, out of everything we talked about today, the thing that keeps sticking with me is that the spiritual journey, it's really a journey of the heart.
Not just the head.
Exactly. It's not about just intellectually understanding things or following strict rules.
It's about the direct connection with the divine.
Yes. Feeling it, experiencing it. The Sufis believe that the divine isn't some far-off abstract idea,
right,
but a living presence that lives within us, in our hearts.
And practices like dhikr, sunak, even reading Rumi's poetry, those are all ways to connect with that presence.
Exactly. To awaken to it and experience the fullness of who we are.
It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, you know?
The busyness, the noise.
And we lose touch with that deeper part of ourselves.
It's true. But that's the beauty of Sufism and mystical traditions in general.
They offer a way back.
Back to that inner sanctuary, that source of our being.
It's about remembering who we truly are.
Not just as individuals, but as interconnected beings.
Part of something much bigger.
Yes, that interconnectedness is such a strong theme in Sufism.
It is. Whether it's the dervishes reflecting the cosmic dance or the Sufi poet yearning for union with the divine.
It all comes back to that sense of unity.
That we're all connected.
And that connection, it leads to peace, love, compassion.
So even if someone isn't drawn to the specific practices of Sufism,
there's still so much to learn from those core teachings.
About living a more meaningful life.
Exactly. Sufism offers this timeless wisdom about cultivating those qualities of the heart.
Love. Compassion, generosity.
Reverence for all of creation.
Beautifully said. Before we go, do you have a final thought-provoking question for our listeners?
I do. We touched on the idea of fana, the annihilation of self in God.
Right, that was a powerful one.
But what if we step outside of that specifically religious context?
Yeah.
How might this idea of dissolving the ego, letting go of our self-identity, how might that be relevant to someone's personal growth, even if they don't follow a specific faith?
That's an interesting question. Can we experience glimpses of that fauna, that merging with something greater in our everyday lives?
I believe we can. Maybe that's the invitation of Sufism and of all mystical paths.
To bring those transcendent experiences into the here and now.
To live our lives with a sense of wonder, connection, and appreciation for the mystery of it all.
What a perfect note to end on. A huge thank you to our expert for guiding us through this Sufi deep dive. And to you, dear listeners, may your journey be filled with those moments of awe and wonder. Keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.